This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world. Welcome to Dreamland. Talk about a busy week, folks, and I'm not talking about the usual litany of horrible news stories, but rather all the things that have happened in the world of Dreamland and Unknown Country. The most extraordinary one is that I was set to go to the Consciousness and Contact conference this weekend. I arrived at the airport. I have misplaced my driver's license, so I am still here in Santa Monica, and which is good news and bad news. It's good news in that you're going to get a dickens of a show today, because I am going to be talking to you about some of the things that I will be talking about at the conference. I'm going to do the conference by video, and they are going to be able to ask direct questions during the presentation, but I'm going to run through some of it today. I had planned to do a live video feed from the conference, but obviously that is not going to happen. So that's one thing, and that will be the second half of the show, the second hour of the show, I should say, and subscribers will get the whole thing. And I think, I have a feeling, non-subscribers, that you're really going to want to get into this when you hear what this is, because I'm going to be talking about really, I think, the first ever recordings of vocalizations that could be from the visitors that I have managed to get over the last few months. And then I'm going to be talking about a couple of times when I actually walked in the parallel universe that I saw at Pine Ridge last summer. That happened right here at home. And in fact, just I have learned to at least see it somewhat. And just literally walked in the door from doing that down at the little park that I go to in the afternoons to do it, because it takes a lot of sunlight to do it. You can't just do it in the dark, at least I can't. And I spent time doing that and looking at that little park, which in the other level of reality, the other world, is much more rustic and very different from of what it is here. It's much less finished, and there are no people in it that I've ever seen. Okay, so that's that. Now, another thing that happened is, do go to the New York Times website, or if, bless you, you open an actual copy of it, a physical copy of it. I still love newspapers. Read the news story by Leslie Keene and Ralph Blumenthal about the latest stuff about the Tic Tac and the Pentagon, and they are now admitting openly that they do work on this, and they're going to be talking more about it. So it's a really exciting story. The first part of Dreamland, we're going to spend half an hour with Carolyn Corey. Her new film, Superhuman, so super, so incredible. I watched it, and we talk about it. It is available literally everywhere. You can go to superhumanfilm.com and find out all about it. To give you an idea of how widely available it is, I watched it the other night on Amazon. So you can watch it practically anywhere, and it is so fabulous and so empowering. Okay, get set, ready? Here we go. Carolyn Corey, welcome back to Dreamland.
Hi, Whitley. Thanks for having me again.
Well, I can't resist, because this show is about empowerment. It's about making people and helping people to realize that there is really a lot to us that we kind of slide past and ignore, and that we can be much bigger human beings and much more effective in the process and experience of living life. And boy, does your film ever serve this goal magnificently.
Yes, exactly. It's exactly what I am about, what this film is about. Did you like it?
Oh, yeah. what I thought was most extraordinary about it is it's not just theoretical. You're seeing things actually happen on the screen. But let's start. I want to talk about first. Let's start with Tom Campbell, a very
extraordinary man. Can you tell us basically what happened to Tom that changed his life?
Well, I think for him, he discovered meditation at a young age, and he was very intrigued. He wanted to figure out why his mind was shifting, how he could do things with his mind after meditation. And so he at the time also got involved with the Monroe Institute, which, you know, talks about and teaches out-of-body experiences. So what I love about him, and I think he told me that around in his 20s, he started to have very extraordinary, spontaneous experiences, which I really love, because he's not just a physicist, a scientist, you know, from the outside. When it starts to happen to you and you experience what you're talking about, you start functioning at a whole new level. So I think he's amazing in that way.
Well, yeah. And what happened, he talks about debugging programs that he was working on with his mind once he was in a meditative state. In other
exactly.
words, yeah, that was, it's just, folks, it's just one of many such examples. We are more than what we have been led to believe. And, you know, well, how about you? I mean, tell us about you as a little girl, which you talk about some in the film.
Yeah, so for me, I started having experiences when I was 5 years old. I was spontaneously able to see energy, see beings, spirit beings, communicate telepathically. I would just like look at someone, and I knew what they were struggling with, what was going to happen to them. I would tell them, oh, you need to focus on this and your problem will go away, and it would happen. I would hear their thoughts sometimes. So I was always feeling and experiencing these types of things, and that's the reason why it kept me open to the idea that consciousness is a lot more than just our physical body. It is tapping into realities way, way, way beyond what we think is real or what we label as real. And so because of that, I got into the field of consciousness studies, the mechanics. What is the difference between your consciousness and mine? How do we communicate with animals? How can we download something from a being that's not physical? How do we get messages that, you know, from the universe? You know, all these questions, I started, studying and working with hundreds of people around the world. And, I realized at one point, not everybody wants to sit in a workshop. Not everybody wants to read books about the subject. And so then it was time to make films. And especially with the validation that we were getting. You know, we would focus on things, it would happen, objects would move, things like that. People would heal just by focusing on what we were focusing on. So this was so real that it was time to put it in a film.
And so you decided to do this, and the result is an extraordinary level of empowerment for those of us who are watching the film, because, you know, it has really inspired me to do some things I should have done maybe a long time ago, because I have a lot of these things in my life, and I'm very well able to use them. But it also, to an extent, I need to deeply organize myself, because, for example, I can do a lot of things with computers and the internet and stuff with my mind, which I do routinely. But sometimes it does not work. Sometimes everything goes berserk, which my fans and listeners are very well aware of. And I have kind of a psychic seizure almost. And I need to find where that really huge energy comes from, and how to know when it's going to happen, and how to use it. And I want to ask you, and this is, we're talking on the air, do you have any idea of anyone that a person like me should talk to or maybe could be helped by?
I think you already are connected. I mean, I can.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that.
No, I mean, like, so what I'm saying is you already have the answers and you already know. I think what maybe is the point of confusion that you can, you know, resolve yourself very easily because you are so connected. It's just the clarification that of a certain method. I feel like if you had a certain protocol that would, instead of things happening spontaneously and so powerfully, it would be more that you decide, you know, I want to do this to the computer. I want to bend a spoon right now. I want to move this object. And this is exactly what I'm bringing, you know, into this film. The idea that everybody's tapped into those energies and things are happening, you know, when you pick up information you didn't even know where it came from. How do you then turn this around and take charge, so to speak, of the protocol, of the process? So I feel like you know, if you just shift, you know, your perspective on that, I feel like you will explore a lot of fun things to do differently. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but it's going to take some doing because I've been like this for a long time. And when the psychic energy gets overwhelming, I don't feel like I have any access to control of it. My wife used to be able, she'd say, Whitley, you're electrifying. Calm down. Just go to your center and calm down. We don't want to blow up the car. We don't want to blow. And, oh, God, I mean, when I'm like this, I've walked into a friend's house and every single electronic appliance they have has been destroyed.
Yeah,
and to the point where I have some very old friends who have been experiencing this from me for many years. And when I start to get excited, if we're talking about something that I'm very intense about, they say, Whit, calm down, take it easy. We do not need a new TV. But gosh, it was so inspiring because I just think that there's so much to us. You know, I wrote down a sentence here. The mind is larger than the reality it inhabits. Mm. We have to outgrow ourselves. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we are so programmed to think that what we see, what is in our immediate environment is. When in fact, our mind is tapped into everything. All the time. It's like, you know, the fact that you tuned into the AM radio station doesn't mean that the FM station stopped existing. You are still in that world of probability, actually drawing from it, from your higher consciousness is drawing from all layers and levels of reality all the time. In fact, that's how we're supposed to be functioning. We're supposed to be in this human form. Yes, we have to also focus on this 3D spectrum because, I mean, otherwise, what's the point if we're out of body all the time? So what I think the real mastery is the ability to do both and to go back and forth from one spectrum to the other effortlessly and spontaneously, but with accuracy. That's why you need some protocol and some control. So for me, for example, when I was younger, things were happening kind of like you. And then it was like, wait, like I want to know the mechanics of it. I don't want to just go tell people you have the power and just believe. I want to know how it happened to me. And so because of that, I kept questioning and I came up with protocols. I said, you know, when this happens, I want this to happen, you know, in the way that I am participating. It's not just like happening through me. And so because of that, I developed the methodologies and the protocols. And, you know, we just taught a class online for kids, you know, learning how to read blindfolded, do things blindfolded. After two classes online, they were able to read. They were able to do the Lego thing completely blindfolded. And we know it's true because the parents are there. We're there. So we know there's no cheating.
Yeah.
No, so it's incredible.
It is incredible. In fact, they're, you see, folks, some of the kids doing this in the show, and it's brain bending. Do you think an adult could do that? Could you do it?
Yeah. Yeah. In the case of adults, it takes longer just because the kids don't really question things. Like when you tell them, okay, tell me what color I have in my hand, they don't think like, how am I supposed to guess? And it doesn't make, like, they just do it. And because their mind just does it, then they're able to very quickly learn. Whereas an adult questions everything.
Right.
Well, that doesn't make sense. How am I have a mask on. How is that going to work? And because of all of this questioning, which is the programming, unfortunately, it takes longer for an adult to be able to do that. So when we teach adults, it's usually like 8 to 10 classes, where with kids, like by the third or fourth class, they're set.
Free Dreamlanders, we're going to take a little break right now. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the stunning things that Carolyn herself has discovered that she can do that you see in the film. We'll be right back. As always, Dreamland's theme music is The O of Pleasure from Ray Lynch's beautiful album, Deep Breakfast, available at raylynch.com.
For all of Whitley's available books, visit the new unknowncountry.com store. Just click on the store tab on Unknown Country's masthead, and you'll find a treasury of Whitley Strieber books, including classics like the Communion series, War Day and Majestic, and the eerily prophetic early novel Night Church, plus A New World, Afterlife Revolution, and all the latest. Visit the store now and join the adventure.
We're talking about Carolyn Corey's new film, available just about everywhere. We'll talk about availability in a minute. It's available on the website, superhumanfilm.com. It is available, I know, on Amazon, because I just watched it on Amazon. It is called Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible. But when you do a search on Amazon, once you've got to Superhuman, you've got it. You'll get right to it from there. Carolyn, I'd like to talk about something I saw on that film that is potentially life-changing for anyone who sees it. It is when you changed the pH of water. Could you tell us about that experience?
Yes, I wanted to include that experiment in the film. And by the way, just a quick note, what this film does is like what you started saying earlier. That it's not just theoretical. It's packed with on-camera demonstration, scientific experiments. And so that is really what makes this film, be more than what we already have been hearing, for the past 20, 30 years. And so because of that, I wanted to bring experiments that are relatable, that are relevant. And so we know that the pH of the water is very important in terms of our health. When a virus or a bacteria cannot survive in an alkaline body. And so I started doing these experiments with water a few years ago. And I realized that you could change it, obviously, when you focus on it, you could change it to go up or down. And so, when we do scientific experiment, you set the baseline for a while, meaning you take a measurement for several hours, and then you focus your intent at a certain time, and then you measure it again to make sure that it is your intent that did that. It wasn't just a fluke. And then we repeat it over and over and over. So because I had done this several times and every time we had a successful result, I said, we have to include this in the film because people are buying bottles of water, you know, 9 plus pH or whatever, you know. So there is that awareness already. Let's show them that this is real. And so on, in the film, I was able, actually the pH was very high. So my intention was to lower it a bit. And I think in like 10 minutes, it was down by one decimal, which is huge. And so this tells us that if you can do this to water that's sitting in front of you, why couldn't you do it to your body just by focusing your mind?
And so why would that be important to do it? Why would that be important, Carolyn, to do it to your body?
Yeah, again, because when you make your body alkaline, you cannot, the viruses and bacteria cannot survive in this alkaline environment. So you want to maintain this alkaline environment. And so that is the reason why it is so important. You could focus on your stomach. You could focus on your saliva. You can focus on your entire digestive tract, but also the blood. It's a different level of pH for the blood and the digestive system and so on and so forth. But you can research that, and everybody has a slightly different balance, but you don't need to worry about the perfect, you know, all the technicalities. The idea is, that's what we demonstrated in the film, is to know that your mind can get your body to the perfect alkaline balance to keep you from attracting viruses and bacteria. And I'm talking about the bad ones, obviously.
Well, yeah. You know, something that's fascinating to me, this relates in my mind to a cold cure that has been in my family for generations. I think it probably came from my great grandmother, or one of the great grandmothers anyway. And what it is you spray salt water in your nose, and then you gargle with milk of magnesia. You don't swallow it. You gargle with it.
Mm.
And here's why that works. Both salt, of course, and they're both salts, rather, and they lower the pH as a result, and this destroys the virus. Mm. But the difference between gargling with salt water and gargling with milk of magnesia is the milk of magnesia is formulated so that it will cling to the tissues longer. And if you start to get a cold, and maybe COVID too, I don't know, I have no idea, and I wouldn't suggest this as a cure for by any means, and you start doing this, the cold is never progresses at all. I mean, it's quite amazing. I haven't had a cold get away from me in years because of it. In fact, in my life, only about 5 or 6 times, I would say in my whole life, have I had a cold really get away from me. Because of using this cure. So it does work. And and if you could actually lower your pH, how do you go about it personally to lower the pH of your body? Because obviously that's very important right now.
Yeah, exactly. So just like I did it in the film where you focus on a bottled water. I mean, of course, we had to test different waters because doing this experiment with bottled water versus, you know, we didn't go with tap water, obviously, but versus spring water. Anyway, let's say purified or spring water or, glacier type water, that those types of waters are the best.
No, and what so, I mean is, how do you do it to your own body?
Yeah. So as we were focusing on those, just like I did it in the film, then I would do it to my body. I can feel, you know, for me, actually, Whitley, when I know I'm starting to be acidic, is I just feel my energy down. You know, I just feel like I just ate something and I'm tired. So because normally you're supposed to, it's okay to be a little bit tired because your digestive system is digesting, you know. But when it's kind of an unusual feeling of tiredness, so I just focus on from my mouth all the way down to my stomach, to the intestines. And I just breathe as if I was like breathing energy down. And I hold that energy throughout my entire digestive tract, and I just visualize the number of hydrogen molecules going up or down to have a perfect alkaline balance that is good for me at the time. It usually takes me, I want to say, about 10 minutes of focus, you know, and then things change. I start to feel different. So that's how I do it. People can find their own way, but that's kind of the gist of it.
And watching her actually do it in the film is incredibly empowering. So don't miss watching that part of it. I obviously watched the whole film, but that is a particularly important part right now. Now, I'd like to talk about what happened to Rachel Brooks Smith. Can you first tell those of us who don't know who Rachel is?
Yeah, another thing that I wanted to do in the film is to showcase all kinds of individuals. I didn't want to just go to folks who, you know, are into meditation and have been doing this kind of work, because that's not the point of the film. The point of the film is anybody can do this. So I started inviting random folks, and also I thought, okay, why not invite some celebrities, you know, here and there. And so Rachel was one of the actors that we liked, because she was open to the idea. And so we invited her to take part of an experience. She had never done anything like this. So we got her to do a remote viewing experiment and also a telekinesis experiment, because we had her for 2 days of filming. And literally in 2 hours, she learned telekinesis and remote viewing. And it was incredible, the accuracy and the precision that she was able to get through the remote viewing experiment. And we were in an area where she had never been before. We shot in Utah, that particular scene. So we flew her from LA. So she had never, you know, she had no clue.
Right.
Yeah. And she nailed it. She was picking up specific colors, tones, things that we were doing at that location. It was so incredible. Paul Smith, who's part of the Stargate program of remote viewing in the government, he gave us that crash course, and he was blown away. So that was that. Then we said, okay, well, let's see if you can learn telekinesis, moving a piece of paper with your mind. Same thing. You know, 2 hours later, the thing started rotating, and she was blown away. And the thing is, you know, also we are filming. So we have cameras, we have all kinds of an electromagnetic field all over the place. This is not the most relaxed, you know, atmosphere to be doing this sort of mind over matter exercise. And so it's hard to concentrate and people are watching you. And so even with that, she was able to shift, and we are all watching as she was talking about love. Exactly at that moment, that piece of paper started rotating, and she kept saying, you know, it's funny how I feel when I talk about love, when I talk about joy. I feel a connection to this little piece of paper. And when I go into ego, I feel the disconnect. And as she was talking and projecting all this beautiful love energy, that piece of paper was going crazy. So that was incredible to witness.
Love is living your energy. Ego is clinging to it. That's the difference.
Exactly.
Now, what do you say to someone who sees this and thinks, oh, I want to try moving an object at a distance, and it doesn't work for them, and they feel disempowered? That is a particularly difficult one, obviously. And how would you suggest that people use the information in the film in their own lives?
First of all, I think, you know, just like when we teach it, you know, everything is gradual. You know, I mean, instead of starting off, you know, trying to move an object, affecting an object at a distance, that's really hard to do, you know, right off the bat. So I would say you know, start with just, you know, like we teach in the class, first you bring a piece of paper and you just try, you play with it, you learn a meditation technique that, you know, that's very specific for this. It's all on the website, by the way. And so, and gradually you learn about you. You start to figure out, oh, wait, I need to really be focused this way. Oh, wait, I'm feeling this coming up for me. I need to shift this. So this is really the training. And then when you start being comfortable with that piece of, with that object, you know, and on your desk, then you add a glass, then you do it remotely without touching it. And then gradually you kind of move to doing it long distance. And so that's what, and the reason when we were filming, the reaction was exactly that. The crew was like, oh my God, how did she do it? I want to do it. And so because of this, we started teaching those classes. And because of the situation right now, everything is online. So people can just go to the website and download these classes and start learning themselves.
Well, that I'm going to do that because I feel like I have so much going, and I need a little bit of structure here more than I've had. And I've been with the visitors for so long, and they give me a lot of structure, and you know, they've made me into one of the world's great researchers, among other things. I can find anything about anybody or anything just by wanting it, and it'll come to me within a matter of hours or days at most. And so, you know, when I'm writing a book now that requires an enormous amount of research, and I'm finding hundreds of things more beyond that I even thought I needed. So that's great, but there's more, and folks, I'm talking to all of us because we're all in this together on Unknown Country and in Dreamland. Find on the website what you need to build more structure in your life. Just to remind you, it's superhumanfilm.com, and you can watch the movie there. You can watch it. Besides Amazon, there's lots of places. Where are some of the others, Carolyn, before we close?
Yeah, it's on iTunes, Vimeo, Google Play, but it's all listed on the website. So probably the easiest way is for people to go to superhumanfilm.com and click on Watch Now, and then they'll see all the platforms listed. And
great.
So, and the classes, they can just go to workshops and see the classes. And Whitley, I'm going to offer you the series we just finished. It is called Superhuman Online, and it includes that meditation I mentioned that is specific for telekinesis and things like that. And it has, you know, spoon bending, you know, remote viewing, telekinesis. And then the next class is blindfold. So you're going to be my guest.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. And folks, I will report on the results of this on Dreamland, of course, and in my journal. Carolyn Corey, thank you so much for being with us. The film is Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible. The website, so important, is superhumanfilm.com. And now we're going to go on. I'm going to talk about some recorded night visitations that you will hear audio of in a few minutes, and also a couple of journeys into the parallel universe that I wrote about in A New World. All I can say is this: I am leading an extremely strange life. I really wasn't planning to publicize this part of it as much as it's turned out that I am, but I have a feeling that the disappearance of the driver's license has something to do with A, keeping me safe, and B, being sure that this information goes to a wider audience. Now, Free Dreamlanders, before you hear this amazing story, listen to these astonishing announcements.
The new Unknown Country is here, and it has so much to offer. our huge archive of Dreamland, plus the full run of William Henry's revelations, Anne Streber's mysterious powers, and her incredible contactee interviews. Whitley's Communion, Secret School, Transformation, and Majestic ebooks, his powerful meditations, and so much more. Plus, every week, the full subscriber versions of Whitley's Dreamland, Mike Clellan's The Unseen, and monthly, Jeremy Vaney's The Experience. We offer subscriptions either by credit card or PayPal, either automatic renewal or annual or longer subscriptions without auto-renew. Plus, it's easy to cancel if you wish. Do it right in your account. Plus, a live chat every week on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific, and so much more. Go to unknowncountry.com right now and subscribe. Keep this incredible site going and have a great time doing it.
Unknowncountry.com subscribers have access to a vast treasury of information. Listen to what Dr. Robert Schock said. He's an expert on the past, and for that reason, he also knows a great deal about the future.
We are re-entering, as you say, a debris field. And when you have a debris field like this, it enters the solar system. It energizes the solar system as you have things going into the sun. Even clouds of dust particles, for instance, it will energize the sun. It will destabilize the sun. This is what we saw at the end of the last ice age in approximate terms, about 13,000 years ago.
You know, I'm updating this right now. This is the 19th of September, 2019, because this is happening. These asteroids and meteors are passing Earth close passbys all the time now. I'd say it's inevitable that this is going to happen. Robert Schock is right. We're going to get him back on Dreamland soon. And you know, you will not find anyone else anywhere on the internet, any other podcast, doing this kind of research in this way with experts like Robert Schock. So subscribe today. Guess what? That's what you ought to do. Go to unknowncountry.com and click on the subscribe tab. Do it now.
Earthfiles.com is Linda Moulton Howe's great website offering news of the edge of science and reality. Keep up with Linda's work every single day on earthfiles.com.
Okay, I'm going to be talking about two things. First, I'm going to be talking about some visitations that occurred last September, October, and November, which I got very brief sound recordings of. Then I'll be talking about the visits to the parallel universe more recently, which were, frankly, completely astonishing. But I'll explain, I think, why they happen and what exactly did happen. In any case, first, let's talk about what occurred in September, October, November, mostly in October, November, as I recall. I got an app called Sleep Talk. I had been struggling for some time with trying to get video of something. I mean, I've been struggling with this since back in the days of the cabin when we tried using a low-light video camera when the visitors did show up and were seen by Raven Dana, Laurie Barnes, and a number of other people. I've written about that in my books, but they didn't show up on the video, even though they would have apparently moved down the hall that it was pointed at. So it's been a long frustration for me, knowing that they are real in some way and knowing that they do come around and do manifest physically from time to time and not being able to get a picture of it. The only thing I ever got back in those days was Dr. John Glideman, that God rest his soul, suggested, why don't you go low-tech and put powder on the floor of the hallway in the bedroom, into your bedroom, since you feel like they're coming in there in the night. I did that the next morning, big joke. There were little prints that looked very much like little goat or hoof prints, small hoof prints, and between them, a wavy thing that looked like it had been made by a tail. It proved nothing, of course, except to me and Anne. Anne was absolutely convinced I had done it during the night as a practical joke to play on her, but I didn't. And, you know, so it got swept away, and that was the only real evidence we ever had. And I was the one left to think to myself, little hooves and a tail? Oh, dear. But anyway, that was it in all these years. I have gotten a number of instances of video of orbs, though. And in fact, one time when Ann and I were having unbelievably intense communications with the dead in that room, in our bedroom, we did get some very extraordinary videos of orbs in a camera that then failed. It broke. It would no longer work after that night. More recently, I've gotten some as well, and I can certainly put them up on the website. I'll try to make a little compendium of them to add to this show that you'll be able to look at visually if you're a subscriber. And please do become one. What are you waiting for? Anyway, so it occurred to me, why not try the sleep app? All it does is pick up sounds. And so I did. I started leaving it on at night. And lo and behold, for a couple of weeks, I did pick up some remarkable sounds that are not me and do, I think, represent individuals coming into that room. I have no direct memory of it, or very, very little. But you'll listen and you'll hear my voice. There are a couple of instances where there's another voice there. So let's listen to the first one. This occurred on October the 15th of 2019. And what you're going to hear is me being waked up by somebody first. You'll hear me say, "What is that?" And then you'll hear me say, "Oh, mature." Then there's a sort of swishing sound. And I think it's somebody sitting on top of me, getting up onto the bed. And I don't have any direct memory of this, to be frank. And then you hear me say, "Teach me, mature." Talk about this a little more after you hear. So first, let's listen.
"Why do you hide? You're mature. Teach me, mature."
First words are, "What is that?" Let me play just those words again.
"Why do you hide?"
You can hear the sleep in my voice and the surprise. "What is that?" I say. And I don't have any direct memory of this. I do have sort of a vague memory, and I told some friends right after it happened, who I sent this audio to, that I did remember who Mature was, but now I'm not so sure. Those memories kind of change over time. They're not very fixed because they're memories really about things that are completely unknown. But this is like a window into a part of my life that previously has been just completely unknown, even to me. Let's listen again to the second sound, which is me recognizing this person. And what's so amazing to me is I call them by name, Mature. This is the name I give them. And I'll tell you in a little while what I think that might be about. And from the sound of it, "Oh, Mature," I say, "this is someone I see a lot, who comes in here a lot." Let's listen to that second vocalization.
"You're mature."
You can tell by my tone that I'm no longer surprised. I'm saying, "Oh, mature." And this is, as I say, this is somebody I know well, and I am now in contact with. Then there is a sound, and we'll listen to it carefully. It's not a rough sound like it would be, say, the turning back of sheets or somebody turning over in bed. In other words, it's a very smooth sound. And when I'm looking at it on the audio editor, it's a long oval. It's something more like, I want to even say a sound of wings, as if someone with wings. Is this sound crazy? But I don't know what else to say. I know this person well. And they made, I think they made this sound, whatever it is. Now, I think that's something moving. And I think that what is happening, and it's like a kind of body memory, I would say. This isn't an actual like memory, like, you know, remembering sitting in a room or going to the store or something. It's different, but I just sense that someone, that this person was beside the bed and got up on the bed and on me, in other words, sitting on me, sort of like the old hag story in psychology where a person wakes up and they see this horrendous old hag sitting on them and they have sleep paralysis. Only I didn't wake up. I don't recall any sleep paralysis, any dreams, any nightmare, anything. All I have is the sound itself. Now there was a silence of a few seconds, about 10 or 15 seconds, when it was just, there was nothing on the audio. Then you hear a completely different Whitley. I am wide awake now. And I know precisely what is going on. And listen to the change. Listen to the tone of voice.
Teach me what you are.
Now, I'm not surprised. I'm obviously pleased, and I expect a pleasurable situation here. I expect pleasure from this. You can hear that in my voice when I say, teach me mature. I'm ready for this, and I'm eager. And you know what I feel now? I feel a kind of a warm feeling of pleasure and longing. That's how I feel. Let me tell you who I think this was. When Anne died, after she died, and we wrote Afterlife Revolution together, one of the things she said was, I'm not Anne anymore, but I will always be Anne for you. And if you think about it, if we do reincarnate, then maybe there is something there that is not all that we are in this life, but much more, in the sense that this individual would remember many lives. And after you die, your life is absorbed back into this oversoul, if you will. And I am still very much in love with this oversoul. And that's why I call this individual mature, because this was the soul that projected Anne into this universe, into the physical world, and which is apparently a very advanced soul and can come physically, can become physical. And when this soul does become physical, I think that I have some kind of a kundalini experience or some kind of sexual experience with it when this happens. And so, of course, I'm delighted to see it because, you know, I've only had one real sexual partner in my life, and I'm living as a celibate now because I feel too close to her to join myself to another woman. And I think that this individual is coming to me and basically continuing the marriage. And right now, I think that the two souls that created me and Anne are very much together. I think they're married. And I believe that this soul coming to me, to this body in this life, is serving that marriage. Now, a week ago, at this time, this is now July the 23rd, 2020. So it was a week ago today, give or take a day. It happened again. The sleep app was not on, and I'll explain why later. Or no, I might as well explain it now. After the first couple of months, I no longer got anything on the sleep app, and I also noticed that I wasn't as involved with the visitors at night as I had been. I think they were making a statement, or the entities that I am engaged with were making a statement. We've done enough of that. You've got what we can give you, and turn it off. And so I did turn it off, and soon enough, everything started up again. Now, a couple of nights ago, as I say, it happened again, only I was awake. And a presence that comes to me so often, that was, in fact, just here yesterday during the day. It comes day and night now. It's not something that only happens at night. And when it happens, it will drop down on my legs, down just above my ankles, and there's a weight that comes down. Even if I'm sitting, it will sort of come down on my legs and the tops of my feet, and it's very, very distinctive. You can't miss it. And if you read A New World, you'll find me discussing the first time it ever happened, which was at Contact in the Desert Conference last summer in June of 2019. My God, looking back, what a world. We've lived five lifetimes, it feels like, since then. It first appeared in my hotel room late at night in the form of a very dark, the interior of a Vesica Pisces. And it was totally dark and black and hanging in front of me while I was meditating. It then moved forward and lay down across my feet. And at the time, I thought, it wants to come in. And I wasn't really ready for that. I was a little scared, frankly. I mean, you know, I am, after all, kind of living out here way, way out here on the edge. And it's quite real, and it's not supposed to be. Most people think I'm a nut, but I'm not at all, as you can hear. I mean, you'll hear more that is even more confirming in a few minutes. In any case, that was when it first showed up. And as soon as I moved my feet slightly and felt that fear, it went away. But it came back a couple months later. And this time I thought to myself, there is no way I am going to experience the fear. I'm going to let this happen. And since then, we have had a relationship. It has never tried to take me over or anything, which is, of course, what I first feared. It is an incredibly intimate, deep relationship, and it's extraordinary. As I say, I think I know who it is. And I am incredibly thankful that it's unfolding this way and that my marriage is continuing. So anyway, a few nights ago, it happened again. It happened, as I say, just yesterday, but that was in the context of something else. Among the other things, when I fall asleep during a meeting, it will wake me up by coming down and sort of buzzing me down there. And so it acts so much like Anne did. She was always nudging me in concerts and meetings. It was one thing about me you can count on. At the beginning of any play that I go to, any live play, I will fall asleep in the first 5 minutes. And if I'm not nudged, if we're down in the front row or something, the talent's going to get really pissed. So she's did that all of the 45 years we were together. Now, it's not that I don't like the theater, but it's just something that happens to me. So a few nights ago, it comes down on my legs in the night. I was not yet asleep. It was probably after the 11 o'clock meditation would be my guess, maybe about midnight. And I think, oh, how nice. I love it when it shows up, of course, because it's the best friend I've got in the world practically now. And I had been feeling a lot of sexual longing, and that happens to me. Of course, I'm a human being. And I thought to myself, oh my, this is lovely. And it began to move up and get heavier and move up and get heavier. And I became more stimulated and it moved closer. And then I want to say that something extraordinary happened, which it did, a beautiful experience, but I don't remember it. I kind of blacked out, and I think that I know why. If you will recall, in Transformation and in The Key, I talk about drinking a bitter liquid. And that bitter liquid is, I think, is opium, an opium liquid made of opium, something like laudanum. And it puts you into a deep sleep that also wipes your memory. I went into the deep sleep. I don't think I drank anything. I don't remember a thing about that night. But I went into the deep sleep for sure. And when I woke up in the morning, I felt as if I had been loved all night. So it's not as if I am really a celibate now. I am still married to someone or something. And gosh, I have to tell you, this is a remarkable and wonderful life. And I think it's tragic that so many people are so afraid of it and seeing it through the lens of superstition in all kinds of different ways. Military shooting at the visitors. I know some very tragic stories about that. This one also happened on the night of October the 16th, 2019. And what it is the sound of me reacting to having one of them blow in my face. This happened a couple of hours after the visitation that I just played with Mature. I was sleeping very deeply. I had not yet done the 3 o'clock meditation, and I was awakened. And now you don't really hear the sound of the blowing, but you do hear my reaction to it very definitely. And then a very soft sort of sound again from me of satisfaction. And I think at the beginning, you may hear the sound of the individual who will blow in my face approaching. Because this is, on a certain level, this is more physical, really, than as you shall see here in a few minutes, than one would think. But it's quite physical. So here we are. Here is the sound of Whitley being awakened for the umpteenth time by being blown in the face at 3 a.m. I think the thuds you hear right at the beginning could be that sound of someone approaching the bed. Then there's a sort of swishing noise, and then the reaction, you can hear it very clearly in my voice, as I react. Then a little more sound, and then very subtly a sort of moan as if, oh, I'm glad. In other words, I was glad, and I am very glad when I get waked up, and I don't want to sleep through these sessions. They're incredibly beautiful and precious to me. Having those sessions, especially the one at Brahma Muhurtha time, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m., is just the blessing of a lifetime and more than one lifetime, I have to tell you. So I'm always extremely glad if I'm oversleeping and they wake me up. I'm never unhappy about it. Okay, now we're going to get into some other stuff, which is quite fascinating to me. It involves a boy. Now, I have had many boys in my life. I raised one. I've got two grandsons at this point. This happened before my present grandson was born. And there's the boy who was living in our woods behind our house, who I found so disturbing that I drove him off. But did I really drive him off, or does he still come here? Because these sounds are the sounds of physical activity in that bedroom and me reacting to a presence, to the presence of this boy. And I think whoever he is, he comes here, and I do not think that it's possible for us at our level to control this in any way, because I think whoever I am dealing with has exquisite control of the mind. My guess is they can probably walk the streets day and night and be overlooked by everyone they pass. Now, I say that because if you will recall in my works in the past, I have mentioned a scene, a situation that took place in Texas in a drugstore. I walked into that store and I saw one of these individuals, not the boy, but one, he was living in the flat immediately behind ours in the condo complex we lived in Texas with two men. One of those men was in that, these were not normal men by any stretch of the imagination, was in that store, and they all smoked constantly, as I have explained. And in A New World, I explain why that is. It is something that is very much part of the spirit world. And these are individuals who are right on the edge between the physical and non-physical. In any case, he was in that store and he was gathering smoking materials in huge quantities from the area where they had them. And this was back in the 90s. And, you know, there's cigarettes and tobacco and stuff were still everywhere and right out in the open in stores. So it was a different world then. And he was just gathering them, and he had them in a bag and in his arms. And he walked right past me with this wry sort of sinister smile on his face, looking straight into my eyes. And the store clerks and the other shoppers were simply staring straight ahead. Nobody saw him. Nobody reacted. And he left and walked away and off down the sidewalk. And the store simply went on. I did not finish my shopping. I left too. I'd have forgotten what I was buying, probably cold medicine or something, and allergy medicine, since we were in Texas and it's the allergy capital of the United States, as is every other state, but that's another story entirely. Anyway, so these individuals can do this. They are in control in their lives. There's no question that whoever this boy is, he is in control of this situation. I cannot do anything about it. I do not remember anything about him, what he looks like, anything. It could be anybody. I mean, just anybody. Anyway, there is one thing. I do appear to like him very much, and that's, you'll notice this is true in this whole sequence. This is not a sequence about a person who is struggling with something. This is a sequence about a person who is living something in his life, me, that I very much want and love and enjoy. It's not terrible. It's just hidden. Anyway, let's listen to these vocalizations about the boy, and you'll also hear in this first one, and I'll point it out after we revisit the sound, after you listen to it the first time, I think it's his voice, okay? And you'll hear that. So here we go.
I'm tired, boy. Moon beat.
So I'm talking to someone. If I was talking to myself and saying I was tired, I would have said, boy, I'm tired, not I'm tired, boy. I'm addressing somebody. And then a couple seconds later, there's that faint little moan of, I guess, displeasure, something like that, or disappointment. Let's listen to it again. I have no pets, so it's certainly not a cat or a dog. It sounds like a young person moaning, and it sounds like he's being disappointed because whatever he had planned isn't going to happen because I'm too tired. Now, but that's not always the way it is with him. And free Dreamlanders, I'm sorry to say, you have reached the end of your rope, and I realize we're coming up on the end of the first hour. And we will go on probably for a second full hour or close to it, because after I finish with the vocalizations, I'm going to be talking about actual physical visits to the parallel universe that have happened since I had the experience at Pine Ridge. And I will explain why they've happened and how they work and give a detailed description of what I saw there. And it'll be quite extraordinary. It is, and it is among the most extraordinary of human experiences. And, you know, people who don't believe me, they have that choice. but I am living a marvelous life. I've worked very, very hard for this all of my life. It started when I was a little tiny child, when I was really pressured, and the cosmic egg was broken when I was about 7 years old. And I've been doing this ever since. I went through a long period between the ages of 12 and 45, when I did not have any contact at all, forgot all about it. I had a brief, very intense experience that I've also written about in the 70s, where I was taken to a school and told it was a million years old, and I was dying to become, join it, to matriculate there, and was told that I couldn't, that I had to go back, that I wasn't ready, which was to say I did matriculate at the school. That was my entry point. Now, later, then I was in the Gurdjieff Foundation for 15 years, which set the basis for communication with the visitors using the sensing exercise and other techniques. Then, in 1985, they returned, and I had the communion experience, and I have been in their school with them ever since. And I cannot imagine living a more wonderful or extraordinary life. And I know Anne can't either. She used to say, "Whitley, I signed on for an interesting life, and boy, did I hit the jackpot." Well, that's very true. So, free Dreamlanders, goodbye for now. Come on and join us and subscribe to the show and subscribe to unknowncountry.com. We need you, and it's not so expensive at $5.95 a month that you can't afford it even now, even in these hard times. So we welcome you if you come. Subscribers, let's keep on right now. We're going deeper and deeper.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Streber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Streber is your Dreamland host, and I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander. Thank you for listening.